Hello and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler and on the menu today we have the terrible situation of our game against Man City last weekend and I'll have to leave it to you to listen to it to find out exactly what we thought about what went on. We'll also have a quick chat about how things went travel-wise. Looking forward to the Brighton and Chelsea games coming up this week. Hope you enjoy it. Michael, how are you?
I just eventually got in.
Yeah, were you having trouble?
Yeah, I think my phone must have froze when I was putting. When I got to a situation to put in the initials, you know,
yeah.
It wouldn't come up. It just wouldn't come up the option for the alphabet, you know.
You're never off that phone anyway, Mick, so that's probably the problem.
Well, I'm only home because I was fucking 2.5 hours driving home tonight. What a fucking disaster.
Yeah? How come?
It's just traffic. Traffic was chaos there this evening.
Yeah.
You know?
We'll have to play this for Steve, so, because after the bollocking you gave him over the weekend about getting home in the game and all that.
But look, it was a disaster.
Yeah.
Lads will probably tell you that, you know what I mean? Not only that, the airport, it was terrible.
Yeah, Gary was on to me there. He's gone for his test for tomorrow, so he probably won't make it to talk to us tonight. So he needs the antigen test for before he goes over to the game tomorrow. But yeah, come here. Was everything okay going over on a Saturday morning?
Yeah, in fairness, we got there about 5 o'clock, and it was there was a good crowd there, and there was a queue. And Tony said to me, it says they're 20 minutes, but I can't see it getting through in 20 minutes, but we're through in 20 minutes. They have it fairly well off now in Dublin Airport, you know?
So
that was grand, you know?
Yeah.
And we're lucky enough, we got the early train as there. We got the 28 train up to Manchester, you know?
All right, That was good. For some reason, I didn't realise on Saturday morning that it was actually a 12:30 kickoff. Yeah, but what about, coming back then, you had a bit of bother.
The problem started when we hit Manchester because a couple of places wouldn't let you in. I think the big problem is they don't want many people in the pubs because they don't have the staff. But
yeah.
We got into it. It's quite a big pub in Manchester.
Yeah.
What do you call it? We were there and I think it was between 3/4 hour and 50 minutes queuing to get a breakfast and even a pint. There was two girls and fair play. They were running off the feet, but not only were they serving and taking the orders, they were actually bringing out the meals to two girls. We had a point, that's all we had, 11 and a half. And listen, we'd head up the Etihad, it was 12:30. So
yeah.
That was fairly smooth. But just after the feckin', the match started pissing rain, as usual. And we got soaked on the way back down. And then we were looking for a place to have a point. And it was Gary that insisted that was about 3/4 to 4. He said, we're better off heading straight to the airport. I had problems a couple of weeks ago in Manchester at this time.
Yeah.
So, lucky enough, we did it because it was an absolute disaster. Didn't look to be many in the queue, but all of a sudden, they were making things more difficult. A bit like Dublin Airport at the start of this football season.
Yeah.
They had only security. And they didn't know what they were up to, but it took myself and Gary, I think we got through about 5:30 by the 6:10 train. We only got through security at that stage and then we went down and the problem was we hadn't had any teas or drink. We thought we would have time, but it was everything was rushed. And then when we got down to the bloody gate, there was no Ryanair staff there at all, so everybody went in sat around. The next thing, this girl opened the main door out from the airstrip, and she said, ready to board. And we haven't even checked in yet. So that was, she had to get on the blower to try and get someone down to start checking us in. And then we had to all move over to another room. And then when they decided to push us, or to set us through, they were using two different bloody check-in gates. And so they didn't even know who had checked in and who hadn't because some people were going one gate to the other. It was a fucking absolute disaster. I let it be known what I thought of it anyway.
And we
got out and onto the plane. Now, your woman she had a nose on it, the girl who was, the airside staff.
Yeah.
Because, they left four people. They left three or four people behind them.
Yeah.
They were there at the doors and all that. And she, And lads were already going up the steps and says, no. And someone's passed a comment, listen, yous were late, you know, two coming to the, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But it was an absolute disaster. And the problem for us all, Tony Cullen probably say, tell you that, is that we never stopped going from morning. We were absolutely knackered.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're on the move all the time, and it was not a nice trip, let's put it that way. Forget about the match. The match was pretty good, but it was to get there all the time you were stressed out.
Yeah.
And that's not the way football should be,
Not knowing if you're gonna make trains and connections and all that sort of stuff,
That was the big thing, you know. I think Tony got caught for a 50 quid fine or something, or take in order to get on the flight, you know, but he'll talk to you that, you know.
Yeah, what was that? Well, yeah, he hasn't appeared yet. Hey Andy. We're just talking about the travelling over on Saturday for the lads, you know. What was the atmosphere like leading up to the game, before the game in the stadium, Mick?
Well, I'll be honest with you, the stadium, I'd say, it was probably 10 or 15,000 below capacity.
I couldn't believe it.
Just coming to kick off time, there wasn't a big crowd there whatsoever. And in that end, the only atmosphere I could hear in the ground was from our fans, you know. That's what I thought. It was very, very disappointed for a team that's, you know, doing so well and everything, that to have so many empty spaces, empty seats, you know, is I know it's got the nickname is the Empiad, you know,
you see,
the game I quite enjoyed was the game itself, but we certainly didn't get the rub of the green with decisions. That was assert, you know.
Yeah. Well, I suppose I was just talking to Gary earlier. He's just coming on the scene there now. But what I was saying to him was, like, Andy probably be the same watching it at home. The big talking point, apart from the obvious sending off Raul in the first half, was on BT, was the Kilman, the handball. And the Ferdinand was in the studio. And Ferdinand was adamant it was a penalty. And Walton was given his view, which was the usual, it was and it wasn't. Basically, you know. But I mean that was the big. It was funny with what happened in the second half with Moutinho. But Walton was saying, which I thought was ridiculous, was saying to Gary, like, you know, it was very subjective incident. You know that it could have been given, but it wasn't given. You know, which to me is a waste of all the things that VAR is a waste for. Like, I mean, if they can't make a decision on something like to me, it would like. They were just backing up the referee, which happened later on. But what did you think, Andy? Did you hear that discussion about it?
I didn't hear much about the commentary at half time, but I heard a few things said. But I know what you were saying there. Was it Peter Walton saying it wasn't? It wasn't.
Yeah.
Look, as far as I'm concerned, that the whole rules of handball have gone just stupid, just like so many other decisions, especially involving VAR. But this whole thing now of ball to hand being a penalty, whereas I commented somewhere online over the weekend that back in the 80s and 90s, you had to have deliberately handled the ball with intent for it to be handball.
Yeah.
And these days, if the ball hits you anywhere from the tips of your fingers up to your shoulder, it's a handball. And you could be completely unaware of the ball, you know, coming towards you at that angle, and it hits you, and you can't do anything about it either, you know. So in that situation, but I mean, Kilman, I think he was obviously trying to lean in to chest the ball, and it kind of hit him more on the shoulder than the chest. But I wouldn't say that was handball necessarily. I think it wasn't intent, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably not much we can say about Raul sending off. I mean, it was just...
Well, I'll tell you, there is something we can say about it. And this is what my biggest annoyance of what goes on. If this getting around the referee from certain players.
Yeah.
There was an incident, the whole thing changed very quickly coming up to around half-time. And what happened was that... At the time, it was in front of us, the incident happened. And that's when Sir East was chasing Sterling in the box.
Yeah.
And he went down. Now, I seen that, and I just thought that Sterling probably caught him at the eye, with the thing accidentally in the eye. But when I watched that again on television when I got home here, he had a closed fist, and he did catch Sir East.
Yeah.
And Sir East went down and was on the ground. Now, the City fans got all upset about that he was diving. And one of the City players came over and grabbed him with a scruff of the neck and pulled him off the ground.
Yeah.
And Cody got involved in it. So there was a little bit of argy-bargy.
Yeah.
But the thing was, Soyuz was down for a little while. But while they were looking at Soyuz, there was four or five or six City players got around the referee and were dictating this was happening the whole lot.
Yeah.
It was interesting that within 4 or 5 minutes, Rahul had been booked and he'd been sent off. And
yeah,
that was come shortly after what was going on with the City players with the referee. Now that happened. That's a fact. Now, after saying that, it was never a yellow card for the fourth tackle. They got the ball.
Yeah.
And and that was the third. Yeah, he was fuming over getting the yellow card.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, what he done was stupid. But how many times have you seen players getting booked for doing that in the last year or two? I have not seen it.
Well, it's even,
that was the frustration.
Yeah, my view on it, when the ball goes out over the sideline or over the end line and they're trying to waste time and they boot the ball into the fucking stand and they get away with it. Timing, there's nobody ever getting booked for kicking the ball away like that. I mean, he was too close. He stuck his foot up, you know, and it touched. But I mean, plenty
of time.
Did
you see what he got booked for last week, Tony? Sorry for cutting across you. Did you see what he got booked for? It was again Burnley last week for. The ball came, he kicked the ball again just out fairly quickly and the ball came back to me and put it down and the referee booked him as well for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike, can I...
Yeah, Gary, you was going to ask you,
contribute. Yeah, I think I was hugely disappointed in Jimenez for what he did.
Yeah.
I thought it was absolute madness. Like, I know, he probably shouldn't have been booked for the first thing, but like, I mean, when you've just got a yellow card, what you don't do is do what he did.
Yeah.
Right under the eyes of the, the ref wasn't even looking, but the City players made sure he knew what happened.
Yeah.
And of course, the linesman saw it as well. But even at that, his antics about not getting off the pitch and then strolling across the pitch and throwing his headband on the ground, he thought it was really out of character. I thought I was very disappointed in all of that. Like, I didn't think there was any need for it. Like, okay, he was the hard man. He got himself sent off. He should have gone with dignity, right? And not the carry-on that he gave.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed in that. Yeah, it mightn't have been a first booking, but this, schoolboys wouldn't do that. Like,
just after that, then we were 10 men. I think they really gave us a hell of a lot of trouble in the first half. But the second half, then I suppose the highlight or low light of the second half was the penalty from Andy. You were watching it on television. You saw the grim detail. What did you think of it all?
Yeah, well, do you know, I mean, obviously, I think everybody, I'm trying to picture now which side of the ground that the away fans were in. So I don't know what
the opposite.
We were the other end of the ground.
Diagonal corner, yeah.
Yeah, so for those of us watching it on TV, then we obviously got pretty well every angle going. And it was obvious that, you know, his arm was raised, but the ball hit him in the side of the ribs and under the armpit kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
And to call that a penalty is obviously a total joke. But what bugs me about the whole situation is VAR took quite a long time to look at that again and again and again. And then they agreed with the ref that it was a penalty.
Yeah.
And then, which obviously nobody could understand and believe. And then, interestingly enough, I watched Match of the Day that night, and right towards the end, after they'd shown our highlights, and you know, the lads in the studio, Lineker and Shearer, talked about it a little bit, very briefly, but Gary Lineker just kind of added right at the very end, before they moved on to the next thing, we've heard from VAR, and they say that they couldn't get a clear angle to look at it, to go against what the ref said. And I thought, I can't even believe that as an excuse.
Yeah.
How VAR can say they didn't get a clear angle of the situation when every camera, so many camera angles in that ground. I mean, Match of the Day had every angle covered.
Hmm.
Whichever channels were showing it live on the day, whether it was German, Sky or whatever, you know, but whatever the camera company or broadcasting company were there actually on the day, showed every angle. Clearly, it was clearly not handball, you know.
Yeah.
So for VAR to come out with that excuse is just diabolical, you know.
Yeah, I know, yeah. And Gary, you want to say something from someone who was there?
Well, first of all, just to
on the match of the day side of it, Shearer did chip in there and say that was a ridiculous excuse, because he said after two runs of the slow motion, he said we had a perfect angle to see that it wasn't a penalty.
Yeah.
And they added that they thought Moss had a very poor game and that Mariner was just as bad.
Yeah.
They were straight out with it, in fairness. Yeah.
What was it like in the ground, Gary, Mick? What did you think initially of the incident? Did you think it was handball?
It was too far away to be able to have an argument with anyone. Yeah. Like, we didn't want it to be a penalty. The ref did it pretty quick. From his point of view, he must have thought. But again, I'd say Mick was right earlier. At that stage, he was right. He was under the spell of City, like, you know, and this was their opportunity to fucking get that goal that they couldn't get.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, as Gary says, we couldn't tell for it. We knew he had his arm up in the air, but I knew I had to hit him somewhere under the arm. We weren't too sure, but we couldn't. You'd be depending on my fellas that set you on it. But anyway, the thing about what's happening after the Euros. They changed. Now they seem to be going back looking to give penalties for little or nothing.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
And now, be honest with you, I still go back to what happened with Soyuz, and that was what pissed me off.
Yeah.
Because Sterling, if that was Sterling, I'm not too sure. I think it was Sterling.
Yeah, it was.
If you look at it close again, he should have got sent off because he threw, what do you call it? It was a fist he threw back.
Yeah.
He caught the opponent in the face.
Yeah, they never showed any angle on the telly other than from the sideline, so you could never actually see what the contact was.
And that's where the problem comes with VAR, because the people running VAR from Stockley Park or whatever, they can put out the angle they want you to see.
Yeah.
But he should have been red card for what he done. Yeah. Was more duty of red card than what happened with Raul Jimenez. But anyway, go back to the goal. If you go with the rules, the rules even for offside, they tell you that the top part of the arm, and that's if you with short sleeve, that's where they use. If the arm is extended, they use that for the ball.
Yeah.
You know, if the ball hits above that sleeve, it's not a handball.
Yeah.
So if the ball, his arm is in the air and it hits underneath there, surely it's not below the bloody arm.
Yeah.
It's not a handball.
Yeah.
And that's their own take of it.
Yeah,
because
you
see them, they run the line straight down for an offside and they'll use that part of the sleeve to get it. And, you know, it was never a handball. It was a con job. And be honest with you, he is not fit enough to be refereeing. As I said in the match, he's a belly nearly as big as fucking mine trying to run around a pitch as a Premier League referee.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And the other fella that was in Stockley Park, he shouldn't be. He hasn't a clue, that fella. What do you call him? Mariner.
Yeah. He's all at sea.
But anyway.
But from watching it purely myself, like, my first reaction was, oh, Jesus, Moutinho, what are you after doing? You know, from the first. But as soon as they started showing replays, I mean, straight away, VAR would lead you to believe that you had a better view down in the far corner than they had, you know, not having the proper camera angles. You know what I mean? There were camera angles everywhere showing that it hit. And he was turning his back to the ball as well. So, I mean, if it had hit anywhere near his arm extended, I'd say. But, I mean, geez, it hit his back. So, Sky were kind of throwing all the big team penalty incidents into the mix on Saturday and saying, you know, they all favoured it. I mean, in fairness, I was saying to Gary, I watched the Chelsea game. And, I mean, the two penalties, the ref didn't give the first one. VAR looked at it. I mean, jeez,
I'm
lucky
penalties.
He wasn't sent off, you know. But the two Chelsea penalties were penalties. So it was nearly diluting their incident by throwing them in as well as saying, oh, the big teams were all got favours, you know. But ours was a distraction. I mean, it's nothing's gonna happen. You know, it'll be clean slate again next week. But what I was gonna ask was, comparing Raul sending off and in things that went against us, Rodri, his tackle on Ait Nouri, I think, and the body check on Ait Nouri in the second half. Like, he was on the yellow from the first half, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he checked Ait Nouri and got a free kick, and that should have been a second yellow on a sending off, I thought.
Before you go to that one, Traore, he got hit four times in quick succession in the first half.
Yeah.
Before there was a booking issued. And the first tackle Jimenez went in on, went to win a ball. straight away he yellow carded, because he had the yellow card and the City players a few seconds before that.
There was two of them, I think, and had yellow cards at that stage. Yeah,
yeah, and that's the annoying thing about it. But look, let's have a look at what we did in the second half. And I thought the tactics were spot on the second half. They just shut up shop, closed off the space, and as I said, we're saying to Gary there, you know, probably the last 10 minutes we'll have a go with them.
Yeah,
you know, there's no point in trying to play at that with 40 minutes to go in a game to try and win it then. And that's exactly what they're doing. I thought the tactics were spot on. They made a few changes to give us a bit more energy in the middle. You know, in the last 5 or 7 minutes there, you could see City were worried because we were starting to open them up when we decided to have a go with them. Yeah. And you know, between Kilman and Mike Newry and even what they call it, Soyeast, we did have a go with them. Yeah. And we almost got that bloody goal right at the death.
I thought Podence did very well when he came on. Even was only short time, no pun intended.
Yeah.
You know, he put the cross in for, I think he put the cross in for Kilman's header. He'd be looking good, I think, for the upcoming matches probably.
Tony, what would have been extra brilliant about that goal was it was Kilman that started that move.
He
broke from inside our own half. And in fairness, he took two or three of their players out of it. Yeah. Laid it off to Matinho. Matinho put it out to Newry, and Newry put it up to Podence. Yeah. He crossed it. In the meantime, Kilman had gone up into the 6-yard box and got the header in. Like, it would have been absolutely fantastic goal.
Anywhere, if he'd headed it either side, I think he'd be kind of headed it straight ahead. If he put it either side, I think it would have been in, you know, because it was the right height and everything.
The one thing was, Gary, as I said, we're talking about this area. We had a great view in where we had a lovely perch, and you could see the moves developing. But like the two boys, Ike Newry and Kilman, and to watch them fellas coming forward in the last 10 minutes, so we're really having a pop at them. And City then were... they were rocking a little bit, you know what I mean? I was very, very pleased about the overall, disappointed with the result, the final result. But you certainly couldn't fault the effort. Yes, you look back and you'd say Rahul was a fucking idiot for what he'd done, you know. Yeah. But overall there was a lot of positives out of that game, you know.
Yeah.
Tony, I don't know whether anyone saw, but it was in a newspaper article I read it on Sunday. Was Guardiola was meant to have said, you know, it's difficult when the other team doesn't want to play, and that Bruno said that's his opinion. I respect him.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought, you know, that's a bit of sour grapes there, like in a sense. Yeah. That I think, you know, it's got to be a recognised way of approaching a game, like or considered to be inferior to the team. What do you do? You shut up shop and you try and catch them on the break.
Yeah,
and but isn't that a recognised way of doing it? Take that criticism, really.
It's very easy for him to say that when he's spent how many hundred million putting his glorious squad together, like, you know, that are, and even teams in the Premier League can't go anywhere near spending what they spend. And they just had the benefit of managing to get all their stadium money in before financial fair play came in and stopped everyone else doing the same thing, you know.
He was fuming because that was his star-studded team and we had made them look very ordinary for long periods. Yeah. But what he said, now I have a lot of time for Pep, but I thought he hit the gutter with his comments. He did say, what you call it, that when a team comes and doesn't want to play, they don't give you the space to play into it. That's what defending is all about. But the other thing he said, I thought smacked of, I did not like it. He says, we know Wolves goes back into, have this defensive yard set up, which Bruno put in place. So he was actually disrespecting what Bruno.
Well, he's done.
You know, he made a reference to that. That's the way Nuno always played. He gets a lot of respect for the way he set them up. And I said to myself, what has that got to do with the basis of the match today? Bringing Nuno in. It was Bruno's game today.
Yeah.
And his tactics, and I thought that was wrong. You should look it up. He was being interviewed, and I thought it was hypocrisy of the bastard. Yeah,
it'd be a bit like blaming fucking Solskjaer if United lose next weekend. You know,
or
whatever way they decide to play. Anyway, I hate mentioning Man United, but anyway, I'll just go off and rinse my mouth. Brighton match coming up and Chelsea on Sunday. What are we thinking of? I assume it'll be much the same team anyway. Maybe one or well, it'll be a change with Raul and probably one or two up front. But
yeah, well, just on that, Tony, then, right? And Mick might agree. You never know. I think Chan, giving Chan a chance up the middle, would be a good option. I think he did really well when he came on for Traore on Saturday.
Yeah,
I think he should get a shot at it, and I think Podence should get a run.
Yeah.
We'll have to drop one in midfield, I suppose.
Yeah,
but I agree. We agree with Gary. We spoke about this on Saturday. We were saying that it was great. It was a great opportunity when Ting got sent off, Jimenez. It was a great opportunity for Chang to play where he considers his best position at centre forward.
Yeah.
And you know, you learn things of that, and he did quite well. There's no doubt about that. And he gets an opportunity now again.
Yeah. What about Chelsea then on Sunday? Any thoughts on what I actually think of the three teams that are running away with it, even though looking at the matches, you'd wonder how they're running away with it sometimes. But Chelsea seem to be very inconsistent. Watching them against Leeds there on Saturday, and they could have easily lost that game, but they were lucky to win it in the end. I wouldn't have any fears playing them, and we haven't bar one 5-2 thump when we got off them a couple of years ago. But I mean, we've more than held our way with them. And what you think of that, Andy?
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. They have been fairly inconsistent. So certainly, even though, yeah, okay, the league doesn't lie, you know, but at the same time, their style of play and just the way they've kind of scraped a few results, not too different to Man City, I suppose, in some ways. Yeah, I think the thing to do, I guess in some ways it depends on which Chelsea turns up. Do we go a bit more positively and play a bit more of an attacking style, or do we kind of sit back and defend a bit more? Like, it's very difficult to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I do agree with just what Gary was saying about playing Huang in that particular role and letting him kind of, you know, have that freedom of that central striking position. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a bit of a hard one to call with Chelsea. It depends which Chelsea's going to turn up. Are they going to turn up on fire, or are they going to turn up as a damp squib?
Yeah. You know? Gary, what's your thoughts on it? I just want to give Mick something to disagree with. That's why I'm asking you first.
Okay. the big question is, like, will he revert to 3-4-3? You know, I mean, just like Saturday, I know we call it 3-5-2, but by God, and you could really see from where we were, it was 5-3-2. There's no question about it. But will he go back to 3-4-3 on Saturday? Or sorry, Sunday? I'm not convinced he will. I think he sees those three top teams as teams you just have to batten down the hatches and hope for the best, to be honest.
Yeah.
I would say, you know. Whereas I do think tomorrow night he will revert to the 3-4-3.
Yeah.
We'll see. I think we can get something out of both games.
Yeah.
Chelsea they've had a run. Like, they didn't concede like two goals in the first 10 games or something, and then they conceded like two a game since then. You know, it's very strange setup. But hopefully, I think we can break through and get something off them.
Yeah. Yeah. Mick. Finish up with you.
We're not playing Liverpool. We're not playing City.
Yeah.
And every talk, the world beaters, the, you know, top teams in Europe. And there was very little between us and them.
Yeah.
Both games. We have a very, very good side.
Yeah.
And I've said it for weeks and weeks. There's not many better defensive teams than we are. Our back three are superb.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
yeah.
And then you throw in the other two wide lads. I think that end we're fantastic. Yes, we need a little bit of help up front. You know, we get one or two lads in there.
Yeah.
Regards Chelsea, Gary was saying there they hadn't conceded. The reason for that was, Gary, teams are starting to suss them out. You know what I mean? There's always weaknesses in every team, and that's what's happening. Teams have gone at the defence. Liverpool look great coming forward. Go back and go at them. And they have problems in defence themselves.
Yeah,
the same as City. And I definitely think we have a great chance of getting something on Sunday from them. It wouldn't surprise me if we beat them. But for that to happen, you need a bit of luck.
Yeah.
And we haven't had that. But we certainly have the quality, the players, to get the result. And we've quite a number of our players on our pitch at the moment would be getting into some of those big teams.
Yeah. So we'll all have our tests and all done then before we travel over on Sunday, yeah? Anyway, we leave it on that note, lads, and hopefully you'll bring back 3 points to us against Brighton.
Yeah, I'll be trying my best.
See ya.
Look after yourself. All right.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.